gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead, you betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner, P.J. Tucker. Gordon by Gordon Rich.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Rockets cruise to a pretty easy win over the New York Knicks, 123-112, and improve to 37-20 on the season. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can find me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. You can also find our show on Twitter, of course, at Locked On Rockets. And if you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, subscribe to us, write us a review, drop us some stars. I would sincerely appreciate it. So I'll kick things off by first off saying sorry for the delay on this post-game recap. I sat down to record, right after the game as per usual, and regrettably, I sounded really terrible. I had this kind of sinus thing bugging me the last day and a half or so, and I sat down to record and I listened back to myself after the first segment. I was like, this is garbage. I can't put this out there. So I slept on it, and I slept a little bit longer than I meant to. So this will be out probably about midday Tuesday. So I apologize on the delay for that. But, delay of game, sinus issues, basically. But the Rockets cruise to a win, right? So they cruise to a 123-112 win over the New York Knicks. This is a team you're supposed to beat. The Knicks were 17-39 coming into this game, right? There's no excuse to not beat this team, but we've seen this Rockets team throughout this season struggle against the teams they're supposed to beat. And with no Russell Westbrook in this one, who was a late scratch on this game, had the left thumb soreness. Russell Westbrook was a late scratch, so they thought they were going to have Westbrook. Westbrook sits out. Probably a smart decision if the thumb is bothering him to let him sit this one out and have him ready to go for the Memphis game, because Memphis is a team that beat you the last time you played against them without Russell Westbrook. So let him sit this one out. Make sure he's 100% good to go for the Memphis game, which will be not necessarily a big game, but, it's just every game matters at this point. Every win matters, trying to bolster yourself in the seeding, in the playoff race. And the Knicks are a team that are definitely easier to beat without Westbrook than the Grizzlies are. So all that being said, I guess I'll rewind a little bit. It was a bit of a long day for James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and PJ Tucker, who attended the Kobe Bryant celebration of life at Staples Center in Los Angeles early Monday morning, and then the three of them boarded a private jet and got back to Houston roughly about an hour, hour and a half right before tip-off against the Knicks. So pretty long day for those three. Obviously, as mentioned already, Russell Westbrook sat out the game, but James Harden and PJ Tucker both played. And honestly, that's just an impressive feat to be able to, that's not easy. Traveling cross-country, in the span of a day. And not only that, but the emotional toll that probably took on those three guys, being there, for a guy who was so impactful to each one of their careers and who meant a great deal to them, to then have to come back and play later that night after traveling all day. Matt Bullard was talking about it on the broadcast, and, there's these NBA players, they go through an entire regimented schedule, right? They have this pattern, their game day patterns, their off day patterns. They do the same thing every day to get ready for these games, whether it's shoot around at X time, or you're going to eat at this time, or you're going to take a nap before the game at this time. That's why those games, like on the weekends, like sometimes those Sunday afternoon games or the Saturday afternoon games, those games can kind of throw off a player's schedule, right? And so this is no different than that. Traveling cross country, I should say, in the middle of a day, rather than performing your usual pregame routine, all that stuff, it's impressive that James Harden was able to come out and he dropped 31 first half points. Now, I'll get into James Harden's game a little bit more further into this pod, but James Harden for the night, 37 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, did have 6 turnovers, maybe a little careless with the ball at times, 4 of 11 from behind the arc, 14 of 25 overall. So really, I'm going to say a really solid first half from James Harden, because he actually did struggle a bit in that second half, and we'll get to that more in just a second. But I think the big story from this game was just how impactful the entire team was. I mean, you had six players scoring double figures, four of the starters, two players off the bench with Rivers and McLemore. This game really kind of showed the depth that this team now has. And there's a lot of discussion going on social media about, okay, you know, Ben McLemore versus Damari Carroll, who's going to get the final spot, who's going to play, you know, what's the playoff rotation going to look like? I don't think it has to be set in stone. I've been vocal about my concerns with Ben McLemore and his defense, but I also have to give him credit where credit is due. Over the last 10 games, he's shooting 47.5% from downtown. On the year, he's up to 39.3%. I mean, he has been shooting lights out. He has found his niche role with Houston, and he's making the most of it. He has been playing phenomenal basketball on the offensive side. Defensively, I'm going mostly off eye test, but I do worry about his defensive lapses. But I'm not gonna drill into him too much. I did it already in the most recent pod. I'm not gonna tear into McLemore. He had a phenomenal game. He had 17 points, 3 rebounds, shot 4 of 9 from downtown, 6 of 11 overall, and he hit a free throw. So McLemore is fulfilling his role exactly as how they need him to do it, which is to be a 3-point specialist, 3-point shooter off the bench, that spark plug off the bench. That's great. If he can do that without being too much of a detriment on defense, then he will get playoff minutes. He will get rotation minutes. But it's also, the Rockets have 5 different guards that need minutes. You've got your superstar duo, you've got Eric Gordon, you've got Austin Rivers, and you've got Ben McLemore. So you've got 5 different guards that need to absorb minutes. And the worry is that if you go, at least my personal worry, is that if you run some 3-guard sets with this small ball lineup, that's when you can probably, other teams are probably going to find a way to take advantage of you. I do worry about that. I do worry about if they run out there with Harden, Westbrook, and McLemore, or Harden, Westbrook, and Rivers, or even to a lesser extent, Harden, Westbrook, and Gordon. I worry that other teams may be able to take advantage of the smaller lineup, whereas when they have 3 of their wings in there, like the starting lineup with Daniel House Jr., Covington, and Tucker, that gives them a bit more size, a bit more of an ability to rebound as a team, and the switching in that case isn't as detrimental because then you don't have a 60% chance of switching a guard onto a big. Now, obviously, that doesn't matter when it's James Harden, but then you have, you know, Eric Gordon, McLemore, Russ, Rivers. Those guys aren't anywhere near as competent as James Harden at guarding opposing bigs, and so I have concerns about Ben McLemore slotting into the lineup, or just in general running a 3-guard set. I think the goal should be to have 2 guards and 3 of your wings out there at all times, and I'm going to die on this hill until proven otherwise. So plenty of other points to make about this game, and we will get there in just 1 second, but we will hit this quick break and be right back. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, discussing the Rockets' 123-112 win over the Knicks, improving the Rockets to 37-20, 4 wins in a row. They are now 20-8 at home. They have won 8 out of their last 10, with the last 2 losses coming on the weird game against Phoenix, where no Russell Westbrook, lack of energy, second night of a back-to-back, all that stuff, and then the buzzer beater against the Utah Jazz by Bojan Bogdanović. So the Rockets are in a pretty good spot. They're playing great basketball, and it's not due in large part to one person. It is due to the entire shift that this team has made, the entire decision to buy into small ball, to completely change the dynamic of this team mid-season, which I said it when it happened, and I will continue to say it. It was a gutsy move by Daryl Morey and company to pull the trigger on trading your starting center mid-season, to commit fully to small ball, to see that the numbers were backing everything up when they were going small ball without Clint Capela, while he was still on the roster, I should say, and to come out and to make it happen, especially with all the pundits, all the critics who were saying this isn't going to work, all the Chris Webbers of the world who are saying, oh, the Rockets are not going to have any rim protection, you know, they don't have a traditional big, they're going to get dominated. who needs rim protection when you have a Robert Covington? I tweeted it out, but his averages, his block totals for the last four games during the Rockets' four-game win streak, he had four against the Celtics, four against the Warriors, three against the Jazz, and another four against the Knicks. Robert Covington is your rim protection. In fact, he's been such an incredible shot blocker during this brief stretch with the Rockets that the NBA decided to randomly drug test him after the Knicks game. They were like, Adam Silver was like, yeah, there's no way this guy isn't juiced. I mean, he's averaging, you know, 2.5 blocks a game as a Rocket. No, get this guy checked. It's crazy what he's doing. He has been nothing short of phenomenal. And on the other end, he spaces the floor. So yeah, Clint Capella might be, you know, grabbing you 10 rebounds a game, 10 to 12 rebounds a game. And, you know, he's definitely a pick and roll lob threat, which the Rockets have become accustomed to over the last three or so years with him as the starting center. So suddenly missing those two elements of what had become an everyday part of Rockets basketball, it was an adjustment, sure. But Robert Covington gives you a lot more of what you need for James Harden and Russell Westbrook to flourish, which is the floor spacing. He still protects the rim, and now the team is rebounding as a committee, as a group. Rather than just sitting back and expecting Clint Capella to absorb every single rebound and waiting for him to, you know, get 10 to 15 boards a night, you've got PJ Tucker, who had 5 boards, Covington, 7, Daniel House Jr., 5. Eric Gordon didn't manage to grab a single rebound somehow. James Harden, 6 rebounds. Down the bench, everybody had at least a couple rebounds with the exception of Austin Rivers. Sorry, still recovering. So I guess my main point is just Robert Covington is the key to what has unlocked small ball. And for him to be able to come in and actually live up to all the hype that the Rockets organization and fans were kind of building up around him, I remember going back to the trade deadline. I was thinking, okay, Robert Covington sounds great, but I wasn't fully bought into not having a center. And now I am. And so many other people are as well. So past Robert Covington, who, again, had a phenomenal game, 7 rebounds, 11 points, had an assist, had a steal, had his 4 blocks, 3 of 8 shooting from downtown, continues to impress in a Rockets jersey. James Harden, we already spoke about his long day. He had a long day. And he had a great first half. And I don't want to put a whole lot of stock into it because, again, long day. But he had an abysmal second half. And I think that was, you know, there was not really a whole lot of reason to talk about it because the Rockets did coast to a win. And because they had so many contributions from everybody else on the roster, it wasn't that big of a deal. But James Harden in the second half just shot 2 of 9 from the floor, missed all 6 of his 3-pointers, made it to the free throw line 3 times, 2 of 3. Not a great second half from James Harden. He was a -6 in the second half. And so I don't want to put a whole lot of stock into this because, again, he was dominant in the first half. He was getting to the basket at will. He looks fresher, and he looks like he's a step quicker, that he is able to drive the way that he was in the for the better part of the first half of the season before he hit his shooting slump. And I think that the All-Star break definitely helped get him a little bit, you know, get him some of the rest that he desperately needs, that he at times refuses to take, right? James Harden is a guy who wants to be out there playing basketball. He's a guy who wants to hoop. And getting James Harden to take a load management day is probably not going to happen, ever. So James Harden, when he's not playing, it's because he's hurt. And I think that that's detrimental at times. I think that he is a guy who could definitely, because of the load that is placed on his shoulders, because of the expectations of him offensively every single evening to carry the team for much of the game, minus the Russell Westbrook minutes where he is in charge of the team, I think it would be beneficial to have him, you know, take a couple games off strategically throughout the season so that he can have some extra rest. Because again, in the first half of this one, he looked spry. He was getting to the basket. He was nailing step back. He was 4 of 5 from downtown at the half. So again, missed all 6 of his 3s in the second half. So I don't know what happened, if the fatigue of the day just caught up to him as he's sitting there in the locker room at halftime and he just walks back out and he's like, okay, you know, getting a little winded now, whatever it may be. But I think that it's not something that is super serious. I think that it was just a long day for James Harden, and he'll come back in the next game and be as efficient as ever. And here's the other thing. James Harden dealt with a knee injury earlier this season. And I think that's something that we need to really account for when we look at this team and how some of these guys are playing now. It takes time for these guys to develop chemistry, you know, especially for some of the first-time guys who weren't in the system before, talking about mainly Ben McLemore, who's, you know, a new addition to this year's squad. But the team hasn't been healthy this season. You know, PJ Tucker, shoulder stinger. Daniel Haas Jr. has had a plethora of different injuries all throughout the year. Eric Gordon missed a chunk of the season because of his knee. James Harden had his knee injury. Russell Westbrook has had, you know, had his offseason knee scope, came into the season out of shape, and, you know, probably still dealing with a little bit of wear and tear on that knee, as well as the dislocated fingers, as well as now the thumb soreness. So this team hasn't been healthy yet, and they still aren't. I'd be a bit, and Eric Gordon left the game because of the knee soreness. So Eric Gordon left the game early because of knee soreness, and that's, again, not ideal. This team has yet to be healthy this season, and for them to be playing as well as they have been over the last 10 or so games, and after the All-Star break to be now three wins in a row post-All-Star break, of riding a four-game win streak, and they're still not healthy. To imagine what this team will be able to do with a fully healthy Eric Gordon, without Russell Westbrook missing any games, that's the beautiful thing about the playoffs, right? Once they get there, there are no back-to-backs. There are no games where Russell Westbrook will be load managing. You will ideally have your entire roster every single night in the playoffs, barring any major injuries for anybody. We'll get final thoughts on this one in just 1 second, but we'll hit this final break and be right back. And back in here for our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So, mentioned it, everybody, you know, played relatively well in this one. You know, six players, in double figures in this one. But a large part of it was the bench scoring. So I tweeted it out right after the game, 45 bench points. That was an incorrect number, unfortunately, because of mathematics. It was actually 47 bench points. So 47 bench points all between the likes of Jeff Green, Damari Carroll, Austin Rivers, and Ben McLemore. Bruno, who played a whopping 3 minutes in garbage time at the end of the game, did not score. And then Tabo Cephalosha, who played roughly 10 minutes, did not score either. So you had four guys who accounted for 47 points off the bench. Austin Rivers was phenomenal, who scored all 14 of his points in the second half. So was scoreless in the first half, flipped a switch, scored, I want to say it was at the end of the third quarter, it was like 9 points all in a row, but 9 points in the final like 2 minutes of the third quarter, if I'm not mistaken. I was, you know, mulling over the full play-by-play of that game. So having a bench unit that can come in and just kind of light a fire, or just having multiple guys on your bench who at any point can get hot and, you know, help carry the team to a W. I mean, Eric Gordon was a plus 26, so he was the game high plus 26. But then you look down the bench lineup and Jeff Green was a plus 22. Austin Rivers was a plus 11. Tabo Cephalosha was a plus 16. So the Rockets largely won this game because of the play of the bench unit, which was a big concern coming in. You know, you find out Russell Westbrook's not playing, and suddenly you get flashbacks to the 16-17 season, or at least I do, the season where it was basically just win the James Harden minutes substantially and then hope that the bench doesn't choke away the lead, back when your guard trio was Patrick Beverley, James Harden, and Eric Gordon. Because for much of that season, it was get the lead as big as possible while James Harden is on the court, and then when James Harden sits, hopefully you don't cough up the lead, and if the game's tied when James Harden sits, hopefully the bench doesn't put you in too much of a hole, because Eric Gordon isn't a facilitator. He's just not. You know, running the offense through Eric Gordon doesn't ever look phenomenal, but at times, that 16-17 season, and due to injuries over the course of Mike D'Antoni's tenure, they've had to run the offense through Eric Gordon. This one was no different. When James Harden sits, Eric Gordon becomes in charge of the lineup, and they did pretty well in this one. I'll give him that. Eric Gordon didn't shoot particularly well. 1 of 7 from the floor, from behind the three-point line, I should see, should say. 4 of 13 overall shooting. So, and there were reports that you could tell that Eric Gordon was being hampered by that knee a little bit before he was officially pulled from this game. So that was probably bothering him for the entirety of the game, I would assume, which is why his numbers were not phenomenal. But again, this one is more, I want to focus more on the bench in this one again. Ben McLemore comes off the bench, 17 points. Austin Rivers, 14 points. Damari Carroll, who looked good and got his first playing time since signing with the Rockets. So he signed with the Rockets and played 13 minutes against the Warriors. And then he had the whole Instagram fiasco post where, you know, he's complaining about new associates or whatever, and then the post gets taken down, doesn't play against the Utah Jazz, and now he comes out and he plays against the Knicks at home. So hopefully, whatever issues Damari Carroll was having with the organization, if they were with the organization, have been squashed, and he is now, you know, understanding of his role. He understands that he will be getting minutes. Maybe his minutes are situational, depending on matchups from the opposing team, whatever it may be. He looked good in this one. 7 points, just hit one of his 3 three-point attempts, but the one that he did hit was kind of, I mean, he was tucked away in the corner, had a hand in his face. You know, it was an impressive shot that he did hit. And he also, he kind of handled the ball in transition a little bit, you know, and I think that's something that Jeff Green and Damari Carroll bring that some of the other Rockets role players don't really possess, is maybe not an desire to go off the dribble, but maybe more of an ability to go off the dribble than guys like PJ Tucker, or in the past, Trevor Ariza was a guy that, you know, when the moment Trevor ever decided to dribble the ball, I was terrified because I just felt like it was going to result in a turnover or a really poor shot attempt at the rim. Having guys that can comfortably go off the dribble and continue the dribble penetration and keeping the defense scrambling, and then they kick it out to the next open shooter, that is crucial in this offense. Because for so long, it's always been, it's got to be James Harden facilitating the shots, or it's got to be Russell Westbrook facilitating the shots. But you look down this line, and James Harden definitely, yeah, he had 9 assists. He had half the team's assists. But the other 11 came from multiple different players. I mean, PJ Tucker had an assist. Covington, 1 assist. Daniel House Jr., 4 assists. Green had one. Cephalosha had one. Rivers had one. So what these guys are doing is, it's just these, whether it's the little touch passes across their perimeter as they're, you know, trying to find the open shooter, or whether it's driving and kicking back out to the open shooter, they're moving the basketball. The ball movement has looked completely different since converting completely to small ball. I think that because of the spacing and because of a handful of other issues before trading Clint Capella, James Harden was forced to isolate a bit more than he probably wanted to. The offense didn't look as smooth at times as it does now. And now that they don't have a center clogging up the lane, and everybody, even if you're not a phenomenal driving presence, everybody is able to handle the ball a little bit better to go off the dribble if they want to. PJ Tucker went off the dribble in this one. His only basket came from his little patented, I don't know what we want to call it. Is it a PJ floater? I mean, it's not really a floater. It's almost like a put shot, like he just kind of, or a shot put, where he just kind of like flips the ball up, and it's, I really don't know what to call it. Those were his only points in this one. He missed both of his three-pointers, but he hit that little shot put from the baseline after driving it in from the three-point line. And he was able to do that because there was space and because there's no help defense, because all the defenders are having to guard the three. So PJ Tucker, of all people, was able to drive in and score a bucket, his only bucket, because of the spacing that this offense provides. Daniel House Jr. was a guy who, throughout the season, it's been a welcome sight to have a role player who is comfortable going off the dribble. I'll stick with comfortable. Because it seems like Daniel House is not afraid to go off the dribble. Let's put it that way. He might not be the best at driving to the basket, but he's not afraid to take the ball off the dribble and then continue to keep the defense scrambling. And again, that's the important part. If you keep the defense scrambling, eventually you will get a wide open shot, which the Rockets lead the league in wide open three-point attempts right now. And that's not going to change anytime soon. The small ball offense gets you so many three-pointers. Looking at things from the Knicks angle for just a quick second, Dennis Smith Jr. had 7 steals in this one. And if I had to venture a guess, I'd say probably 4 of those came off of some of James Harden's sloppy turnovers. But Dennis Smith Jr. was definitely getting his hands in the cookie jar of the Houston Rockets. However, the Knicks were only able to turn what was it, 13 Rockets turnovers into 11 points. So it's not like they really capitalized off of that. But again, it's just not something you want to see. You don't really want to see a player on the opposing team, you know, starting racking up 4, 5, 6, 7 steals, because that means you're just not taking care of the basketball. In addition to that, Barrett and Randall both had, you know, a couple decent games. 21 points for Barrett, 8 of 17 shooting. Julius Randall, just 5 of 14 shooting, but he did make a living at the free throw line, 7 of 8 at the charity stripe, 17 points for him. The Rockets were beaten on the boards again in this one, 54 to 38. And as far as the second chance points are concerned, the Knicks did kind of hammer those home, 19 second chance points for the Knicks to just 3 for the Rockets. But that kind of doesn't matter when you are plus, how 20, okay, so hang on, wait, my bad. They made 16 three-pointers. The Knicks just made 11, so you were plus 15 at the three-point line. So that's basically your difference, right? You know, you plus 15 at the three-point line, the second chance points, that almost negates completely the second chance points that the Knicks were scoring. The Rockets also made a living in the transition game in this one, as they had 26 fast break points to just 15 by the Knicks. The overall, I mean, there's really not a lot of areas to complain about in this one. Mike D'Antoni gets time to continue to toy with his lineups, and moving forward, it'll be interesting to see how much more playing time Damari Carroll gets, if any. I would venture a guess and say that Thabo Sefolosha is probably going to be the odd man out. Even though he's played well over the last month, month and a half or so, I feel like the solid nine-man rotation headed into the playoffs will likely be the starters, and then it'll be off the bench. You'll have Austin Rivers, McLemore, Eric Gordon, and then some combination, and then definitely Jeff Green, I think, will be getting a lot of the backup 5 minutes, but Damari Carroll will be used situationally in place of Austin Rivers or Ben McLemore, depending on what is needed against the matchup at hand. Because Damari Carroll gives you a bit more size than Rivers and McLemore. He gives you that veteran wing presence, and he's still a reliable three-point shooter. So even though Austin Rivers has played phenomenally over this last, you know, month or so, basically ever since he came back from his thumb injury, which again, injuries galore for this Rockets team all throughout the season, ever since Austin Rivers came back from that, he's been playing pretty well. So it feels like the Rockets team is starting to finally all click at the same time. And that's important because just like this Utah Jazz game where they were able to leapfrog the Jazz and take over sole possession of the fourth seed in the Western Conference, which they are now, they're 37-20. They are a full game ahead of the Utah Jazz, who just lost to the Phoenix Suns in a really terrible fashion. And then the LA Clippers are a full game ahead of the Rockets in the three seed. But only the Rockets are only a half game back in the loss column, or one, sorry, I should say, one game back in the loss column from the Clippers. So there's a chance coming up here very shortly. Where's my schedule at? There we go. The Rockets play the Clippers in just 4 games. So they play Memphis, then they go on the road very briefly to Boston and to New York, and then they come back to Houston Thursday, March 5th. For the final meetup between the Rockets and the Clippers. The Rockets lead the series 2-1. So if the Rockets win that game, they will, depending on if everything holds, if the Rockets and Clippers just both continue to win headed into that matchup, then the Rockets will leapfrog the Clippers into that third spot, which is phenomenal. To think that throughout the really, what word do I want to use? We'll say horrendous. The really horrendous performance that was January by James Harden, by this Rockets team going 8-7 in the month of January, even though that was the month where Westbrook fully unlocked his new potential as a Houston Rocket with the spacing and, you know, realizing that he needs to stop shooting threes, that was phenomenal. Yes, that was a great development, but the Rockets still weren't winning games. So now, that all things considered, given that really horrible month, that really poor stretch of basketball by this team, the Rockets are about to potentially be in the third seed in a really stacked Western Conference. They just have to take care of business against the Clippers and continue to beat the teams they're supposed to beat. And history has shown that this Rockets team plays better in the second half of the season. So I think that's fully possible. And I think this Clippers game will be the next biggest game of the season. First, it was this Utah Jazz game, and they won it. They dominated that game. Now they have a chance to do it again against the Clippers at home in front of the Toyota Center crowd, which will be a huge game. Don't want to miss that one. So I think that's where we will wrap things up for today. As always, thank you all so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back here again very, very soon, right here at Locked On Rockets, your date. Wait, hang on. Before I end that spiel, Rockets Mailbag Podcast. Mailbag? Yeah, Mailbag Podcast. So if you have a question for either me or our special correspondent, Mr. Ben DuBose himself, just about the team, about the players, whatever, any comments, concerns that you may have, submit those questions. You can do it via Twitter. You can do it via the Locked On Rockets Gmail account, so lockedonrockets@gmail.com. If you have any questions, submit those by about, say, 8 p.m. Tuesday evening, and Ben and I will tackle those questions and have those out on the Wednesday podcast. So look forward to hearing from you guys, any questions that you guys may have. And that is where we will wrap things up for today. So as always, thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.